The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Monday, November 8th, and it's daylight savings time. Help your friends out. Make sure everyone's got their clocks back. You know what I mean? Help your stoner friends out who were texting you last night going, am I tripping?
Some Freddy Krueger shit, man. Why is it still 1 o'clock, bro?
What did I just smoke, dude?
As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. All the good.
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John, a.k.a. the brand new daddy. We're so excited. Back.
The man, John. The myth, the legend, the dad.
What's up, Bubbles? How y'all doing?
John Boy, a.k.a. is now John Dad with a John Girl. We're so fucking happy.
Let's go.
We're very excited to announce the birth of John Girl and that you are now LeJethro Jenkins Sr. officially. So how? What's the last week been like, bro? Try and put that feeling and your last week into words unsuccessfully.
Yeah, right. There's no words, you know what I'm saying, to put it how I feel. Like, I'm just extremely excited, but like, you know, all praise is due to Allah and women, because Jesus Christ, that birthing process is insane. I remember, like, I was at the bottom, you know what I mean? I was kind of worried that I would pass out.
Yeah. I mean, I was in the trenches getting dirty, you know what I mean?
Trenches.
He was in there, you know what I mean? It was crazy, but like, What was interesting is, like, my job is to be like her biggest cheerleader. You know what I mean? Like, when in a moment where she says she doesn't think she can do it, you know, which always happens, I'm like, no, you can. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm looking down and seeing this big head and her vagina swole up to the size of a grapefruit. And I'm looking at her face and lying, like, you're going to be okay, baby. I look at that, look at her, lie, look at that, look at her, lie again.
And the whole time, but in your heart, you're like, this does not seem possible.
I'm looking at everybody else like, when are we going to say it's time for a cesarean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is not, that is not coming out of that, okay?
It's that just is not looking tenable right about it's, now.
It's very, very untenable vibes. Very untenable vibes, you know what I mean? But, you know, then the baby head come out, the vagina lips are they swinging in the wind, and then hum sueña modichi, the baby comes out, you know, and Rather looks dead at me. She says, holy shit, we're parents. I'm like, yes, we are. And I'm crying like a whole baby. But yeah, I'm crying more than some years. But yeah, man, like, it was crazy. But man, like, it feels good. It feels good. I think, like, I honestly feel like, you know, in life we, like, search for things. And I don't know, like, I always was looking for reasons, like, something like that I wanted to die for. You know, that's how I'm thinking. You know what I mean? Like I would die for this shit. You know what I'm saying? We always talk like that. You know what I mean? And, like, being a dad, like, I feel like I found something to live for. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of changed my perspective in a different way. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, hey, getting old ain't that bad. I can deal with some fucked up knees and all that to be able to see my baby, you know, progress through life and her have kids and all of that too. So I always thought, I want to get out of here at 70. I can live to 130, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'd hate every second not around my family, but those moments around my family would make it worth it. You know what I mean? So, for sure. This family shit, this me, bro. It's good, man. You know what I mean? It's good. Y'all kind of always figure stuff out, like, kind of early. I think y'all learn from other people. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of hard-headed. You know what I mean? I gotta experience it. You know what I mean? Like, I was thotting a little longer than everybody, you know, and all that. You know what I'm saying? I like to ruin things. You know what I mean? But this is something worth not ruining. You know what I mean? This is, you know, so, yeah, I'm really thankful, bro. I'm really thankful for my lady. I'm really thankful for my baby. You know what I mean? So, it's beautiful, bro. It's truly, truly, like, it was eye opening, you know what I mean? But the bond and the, like, I don't know, man. Family's a special thing, man.
So has it all sunken in yet? Like the whole, wow, there is really another life in this house with us who's going to be in my life forever now. Like, has that sunk in?
I'm gonna keep it a stack. Like when I first saw her, it was really normal. Like it felt, I just felt like super ready. If I was like 25, I'd probably be like, holy shit. You know what I mean? What am I to do? You know what I mean? But it felt really normal. And I just felt like, okay, boom. You know what I mean? Just like, you know what I mean? Just like all of a sudden, like not being a dad and being a dad was just as normal as not being a dad, like in that moment. But the first time she opened her eyes and I saw her eyes, bro, whew, I felt like somebody snatched my soul out of my body. I felt like I was no longer, my soul was no longer mine. You know what I mean? Like, that was I looked at, I was like, ooh, like, that was a different type of love that I felt at that moment. But, like, at first it just felt normal, like, you know, really normal holding her and, you know what I mean? And even, like, losing sleep and being up in the middle of the night, me and Rather be laughing. And what's crazy is Rather took her mask off and, like, the nurse like, oh, you're beautiful. You know what I mean? Everybody looking at me like, how the hell did you do that? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? First of all, don't disrespect me. I did a lot of cardio out here.
I was about to say they looked at you. They looked at her. They looked at you, and you just pulled your shirt up to show your abs right away.
Right. You know what I mean? Shit, my mama made a decent face anyway. It's just like that laughter, bro. I was like, yeah, but I even like when she was like in labor, like I would crack a joke. I will hold that for the rest of my life. Like her popping a baby out, we seeing the little baby hairs coming out of her, you know, squeaking past her labia and all that. You know what I mean? And I'm over here cracking jokes and she's laughing, like, you know, while resting. But what was interesting, they said something. I think this is like a life lesson. We had a doula, and I think a doula is like I think doulas are. If you're having a shorty, get you a doula. I think she was a big part of like keeping everything calm, you know, making us all comfortable. But she was saying the work is in the relaxation. So like when she's pushing, push. But that comes really natural. What doesn't come natural is calming yourself in the moments between the contractions. Mm-hmm. And that's where the work is. And I think that's a life lesson. You know what I mean? After hard times, you know what I'm saying? I was looking, I'm like, damn, bro, she talking about labor, but, you know, you could take that in life and use that. But the work is in the relaxation, calming down, you know, in between hard times and all that. You feel me? But, yeah, man, it's a beautiful experience, bro. I truly, truly, truly can't describe it. We need Hanif for one of them up here. You know, we need a poet up here to break it down in the way that it deserves to be broken down. But, yeah, bro, your boy's a daddy like a mug, bro. But I always ran from this, you know what I mean? But I think... Like family to me is something I should have ran to. And I never would have, like, if I didn't have a kid of my own, I probably wouldn't have adopted, but I should have. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like even if my pew-pews weren't pew-pewing, you know, and they might not pew-pew no more, you know, I might have got lucky, you feel me? Like, I want another one. I mess around and adopt, you know what I mean? I feel like it'll be just as special, and I love that kid just as much, you know what I mean? But it I don't know, man. Living for somebody other than yourself is very, very, you know, it's a beautiful experience. And I've been extremely selfish for a lot of my life, you know what I mean? But this made me, I'm calling my mom more. I'm calling my family more. Like, you know, it's different, bro. It's different. It makes me realize how wild it is that I don't call my mom as much as I should call her, being that she did that for me, and how much she probably loves me, how I feel about, you know, Somia, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, man, it's an experience you want to share with everybody, bro.
My mom doesn't call me on my birthday since we had kids. I call my mom every year. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? First. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, thank you.
Bro.
All I'm doing is hanging out.
I will keep it a stack. I'll call my mom. You know, y'all know going through therapy and all that, you know what I mean? I've had moments where I've like, you know, felt a particular way about, you know, growing up. You know, it was kind of, you know, we had hard times, you know, but my mom did the best she could, you know what I mean? And so I called my mom and I just thanked her. You know what I mean? I really realized that, you know, like, she was really just doing the best she could. And even my stepdad, who was a dickhead when I was younger, you know, he was doing the best he could, too. And I see why I see why she stayed with him. I see why he was a good man. He just had his issues, and we all do. You know what I mean? And I thanked her. I said, I get it. I get why you stayed with him. You know, I get why y'all tried to work it out. You know what I mean? I get why you felt like that was necessary for a family. I get why you fought for your fucking family. You know what I mean? So...
Can I ask you a question? I feel like anyone who's just had a kid, it's like, you know, they say that time is the fourth dimension, but we don't really like experience it the way we experience things spatially because we don't, our brains aren't equipped for it, right?
Yeah.
I felt like the week after we had Vincent,
I felt like I experienced the fourth dimension for the first time, where it was exactly what you said. Like, you can see your own childhood and your mm-hmm. parents completely differently, like 30 seconds later, right?
Bro,
you can see your grandparents. You can see, and then you can see your kid. And what like totally blew my mind when we had our second kid, which is our daughter Maya, was like, she, like, women are born with all the eggs they're going to have in their lifetime, which mm-hmm. means the part of my grandkids, if she has kids, that she will contribute is here, like, already in the room with us.
Already.
Did you have that feeling of, like, you said it was like your soul got snatched. Did you have that feeling of, like, I'm floating in the universe, looking in every direction at once, like, about your own bloodline?
There was that moment when you're like, all the future, the past, everything right. exists all at once. Yeah, for sure. Like, I already had kind of felt like that, because I remember I talked to you about it. I'm like, do you feel like, is raising kids kind of like reliving your own childhood, like reliving your past right. and working through those things as well? And I mean, like, for me, like, I don't know, it definitely was that. But I mean, I don't know, looking at Ratha, I see Ratha, like I feel like I, like, over the, oh, like, as while Ratha was pregnant, like, I tend to, like, I don't know, I think I really saw her, you know, as she was, I saw who she was, you know what I mean? Like, the core of who she was. Like, you know, she's giving birth, you know, and she's apologizing and shit. Like, Ratha, you're too sweet. You know, cuss me out. You know, right. I feel more comfortable than that. You know what I'm saying? And you, right. like, apologizing while on the, you know, while giving birth. But, yeah, like, you really see that. But I don't know, man. Like, I was talking to Ratha. I'm like, let's always fight for this. Let's always fight to keep this together. This is very important. You know, this is the most important thing I've ever done in my life. You know what I mean? Growing a family. But this is my shit, dog. This been my shit. I just didn't know it. You feel me? Like I said, y'all be knowing shit. Like Tyler always said, man, get her them chairs, John. Anyway. Get her the chairs, John. You know what I mean?
Don't be,
you know,
Will Smith out here.
Right. Don't be Will Smith, John. Get her them damn chairs, bro. You know what I mean? But like, nah, I see what you're saying, bro. I hear you. You know what I mean? Tyler, the big brother, to be telling folks, you know, like, I'm trying to help you out, my G. I'm hard-headed. I don't want to listen. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I got her the chairs. I got her a Telfar, too. You feel me?
Yeah.
And we getting her some Air Merrimack. Like, yeah, bro. We spoiling folks around here. I was holding her, and her mom's helping me, helping us out, which is, whew, family comes in. That's been huge. I'm really thankful to her mom. But I was holding her. And her mom was like, you need to put her down or she's going to get, you know what I'm saying? You holding her, she ain't going to want to lay in her, you know, bassinet.
That's smart as fuck. Right.
She's trying to hit us with some real shit, you know what I'm saying? So I put her down and then I picked Ratha up. I said, somebody getting spoiled around here. whether it's Somi or it's Ratha, I'm spoiling something around here at all times, you know what I mean? But it's beautiful,
love
bro.
To give. I hear that.
Got a love to give. I got a lot of love to give, man. So I appreciate beautiful, y'all too, man. Y'all been super supportive, man. We all was talking about this in the podcast, but it's been beautiful to grow. And grow old enough to become a pussy, you know. Grow old enough to be crying around your homies, around, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's beautiful to see that. I thank y'all, man. Y'all really mean a lot to me.
Likewise, brother. We are so fucking happy for you, man. You know how we've been talking in the group group chat and all that, bro. Like, we cannot get enough of her, dog. And we're so happy for you and Ryder, man. So happy. Yeah.
Thank y'all.
Wait, I'll share a couple things from the group chat. Char is literally like. When I haven't seen my wife in a couple hours, she'll literally walk in the door and go, did John send any new baby pictures? They're like, that's how she greets me.
I'll send some more.
She,
send some
like,
more,
she doesn't say hi. She doesn't say how things go. She's like, baby pictures? Like,
let me. Bro, that's how people calling me, bro. Calling me like, where she at? I'm like, what's wild is, bro, she might do it. I tweeted this. She do a doo-doo diaper, and I'll be like, good job, girl. I'm like, I see why participation trophies exist. I'm giving her all of them. You feel me? She peed. It's 2 a.m. She had a doo-doo diaper doo-dooed all over the, like a blowout. Doo-dooed all over the little the swaddling thing, you know, all that. And I was like, oh, good job, baby. I'm cleaning doo-doo off my hands.
Look, what
and
a
all
big
that.
Poopies.
Right. She's crying, and I'm wiping her down. I'm like, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? I'm like, I know I deserve it. I'm sorry. I know I deserve it. You know what I mean? I apologize. But, you know, like, it's something different, dog.
Two people go to the hospital, three people leave. It's the most miraculous thing on planet Earth. And then you pull back and go, this is how all of us got here.
Right, right.
The dumbest person you know and the best person you know. This is the miracle that every person that's walking the earth.
I'm like, Riza, you really want to do this with me? You trusting me?
But also, you become much more funny when you a dad, though, to your wife at least. You know, when I'm holding, I've realized a trick. When I'm holding Somia, I'm way funnier to Riza. Like, she already liked my jokes, but when I'm holding the baby, she really loved my jokes. So I'm gonna use that to my advantage. I'm learning some things. You feel me? So, you know, when I'm spoiling it, playing with her, tell a joke, and Riza's ha. I'm like, all right, there we go. I see.
I like want to drag this out because all of our actual sports topics are terrible for today.
No, let's talk about whatever, bro. Let's go. Let's go ahead.
Okay, let's spin the wheel of not fun. Do you want to talk about which one do we want to talk about first? I'm going to let the new dad pick. You want to talk about Aaron Rodgers? You want to talk about Robert Sarver? Or you want to talk about Luca's haircut?
I mean, let's talk about Sarver, get Sarver over with. You know, there's a lot of niggers to talk about. I think we should get that out of the system and then move on to the at least like the consulting of of Joe Rogan. That I think that's a little lesser. So let's get that over with. I like to eat like the worst food first when I'm eating food. So let's talk about Sarver.
The big ESPN investigation into the Suns, which had been, as we discussed before, this weird world that we live in now where everything happens simultaneously. It had been reported on that the story was going to come out like 3 weeks ago. The story finally came out. I thought it was pretty horrific. I thought it included some details that were much beyond a he said, she said, to show that this is a dude who's been racist and misogynistic, and that basically everyone who doesn't currently work for him had stories and other things that he's making jokes that no one should be making. I'm assuming everyone read this story. Tyler, what was your reaction to the story as a whole?
There's some real terrible parts in it. I cannot believe how much I love that these niggas need a nigga quote, though. I hate that it came from him. You know what I'm saying? But that was
the right message and the wrong messenger.
The wrong messenger. like I saw someone on Twitter say, bro, how you make diversity racist? And that's exactly what he did in that instance. But, you know, I see that, you know, the whole fucking a big discussion is, well, yeah, this is how all these owners are. So what do you want to be done about that? We are not talking about all the owners. We, for one, all these owners are 70-year-old white billionaires. We know their politics are fucking terrible. We know that. But if you bring that shit to the workplace, right, if you're dumb enough or arrogant enough or whatever the fuck enough to, you know, be a bigot in public at your place of work, you got to fucking go, bro. It's that fucking simple. Like we don't need to, you know, fucking do an investigation on everybody else who's in the fucking NBA who's owning. We need to focus on this motherfucker who fucked up and get his ass up out of there. That's where I'm at with it.
When I read these niggas need a nigga, the record, I heard the record scratch in my head. Like, I'm not supposed to feel like, I'm not supposed to feel this way about this. You know what I mean? It was like the physical embodiment of that Alonzo Mourning meme, bro. Like that's like, you know what I'm saying? Like I love that. But I also love how like Tyler's HR experience comes out. You sound whatever we talk about this shit, you sound like that. But yeah, bro. Like, I mean, it's horrible. Get him the fuck out of there, man. But he was also right in that moment.
Yeah, if he'd have said, you know, black players need a black coach, like, we'd have been like, wow, this motherfucker's progressive as hell. You know what I'm saying? But his phrase in there was fucked up. You're not supposed to say that, bro. You are a white man.
Did he you think he said the R?
Probably not. I don't think he's that close.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so either. I think he was trying to be. I think, like we were talking
he's
about
trying
this.
To
I
be funny.
He's trying to be funny. He's that dumb that he thinks he can get away with it. You know what I mean? So.
But as you said, I mean, these are 70-year-old white billionaires. They've never been told no. They, you know what I mean? Like, pretty much everyone around them, even if it is people who are in this situation like John, even if it's your kid, even if it's your wife, everyone around you is tied to your material wealth in some way or another, either through employment or inheritance or existence. And in the society that we have chosen to build one step at a time, there's no escaping that when it's that amount of money, right? And so they exist in a world where Earl Watson is probably the first person to ever look Sarver in the face in a decade plus and say, you can't fucking say that. You know, I mean,
So I that
and he
that,
called him toxic for it.
I can't say nigga, you're toxic.
You know what I mean? Like,
okay. I'm the real victim here because I'm a white man, cannot say nigga.
But like, dude, like the worst that can happen to him is he's gonna be a white man billionaire. That's the worst. You know,
it's
what I'm
the same
like,
thing as Donald Sterling. His worst punishment is gonna be realizing the gains that he's made in owning an NBA team for an amount of time.
Right, right.
Double up the money increased that he put into it when he sells it. So.
Yeah, so if you're not, you know, you
cancel culture, run amok. Right, right. We turned $500 million into $2 billion, but you can't. You have to pay for courtside seats now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
what happened to America?
I thought this was America, people.
I thought this was America.
I
can't say nigga.
I want to. This will never happen, but I do want to use this as just a moment to pitch one of my sports fantasies, which is we discussed this with the Knicks last year. You see what having a competently run or successful Knicks team means to the city of New York. Like, these sports teams are cultural institutions. Mm-hmm. And we've seen how it hurts Seattle when the owner of the team moved him out of the city. You see what it does to cities when one guy whose profit margin is the most important thing to him controls something that's a part of the culture of basically every major American city, right? Like, so I really do think we should stop letting the worst people in the country control these teams that we care so much about. And they should all be public entities to some extent. You know what I mean? Like, you hire people to run them like a private business. Sure, like, you need a real general manager, all that shit. But the Packers are a great model for an ownership trust that lies in the community that can be competently run, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? Like, I just... Tyler made the point. Everyone's saying like, "Oh, it's a billionaire owner. Like, what do you expect?" But that's the point. You know what I mean? Like we should just be like, "Oh yeah, they're all the worst people in the world." And by the way, like, half of the country's happiness depends on. It just doesn't make any sense, man.
Yeah, it's quite the situation. It's interesting seeing how it kind of shakes down, though. Like, you know, we saw a lot of people were disappointed in James Jones going to bat for him. You know, that was something that I wasn't pleased.
He was
with
out
James
there looking like,
yeah,
yuckity yuck yuck yuck. Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
them tap dance shoes was looked like they was shining. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and another thing people were saying, well, you know, he wants to preserve his job. So, bro, you have a $1 million NBA career. You know what I mean? You're not hurting for money. You know what I mean? At all. I would not think if your money management is even halfway decent. So, I mean, you didn't have to say anything here, bro. I'm not asking you to actively take a stand here, but you did not have to throw yourself on that fucking sword for him.
This is like one of them things again. You know, it's free to just shut up. That's always an option. And that was the best situation here. But, I mean, even like we saw our boy, you know what I mean, Rex jump out there. That's not the Sarver I know. Not you. I hate it had to be you. You know, I was rooting for you. You know what I mean? But, yeah, man, it's just easy to shut up in these situations. And I feel like, yeah, James Jones should have definitely did. He was out here looking bad. I told y'all, man. He looked like the Django meme. What was your boy?
Samuel Jackson.
Massa! He looked like that. You know what I mean? Bro, the white man doesn't need you to save him. Trust me. Yes. He'll be good. You know what I mean?
All right. Let's talk about...
No, that's not the Sarver I know. I've never heard him say nigger. Only nigger. Sit so tall, lanky ass down, big fella. You hear what I mean?
I just think even if you feel like you know someone and a story is portraying them falsely, whatever, you're diving in front of an invisible bullet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that's the worst case scenario for Robert Sarver. Again, is the money he put into that team has been quadrupled and handed back to him,
right,
with more free time. I, you know what I mean? Like, but I think similarly, you know, there's some things in the story, like he refuted quite a bit of it. There's some stuff he did not refute. And I would just say, being from Southern California, knowing the reputation of Earl Watson, that's a man who's stamped in Southern California. I believe Earl Watson. I tend to believe black people when they say that they've been mistreated by white people. I don't think
That should, in my opinion, be the default stance of a human being who's been living in America with any amount of intelligence. You believe women when they say they've been mistreated. You believe black people when they say they've been mistreated. Guess what? Pay attention. It's a lot of that going around historically and in the world today. And there's not enough people who actually just listen to Earl Watson, who is, trust me, not a dude who's out here just trying to pay off bad blood or whatever. Like he said, this is an experience that has permanently affected his emotional state. And he said, I'm not interested in reliving this every day, but I'm also not going to lie or protect that dude. And yeah. I have a huge amount of respect for that. For whatever reason, we don't treat racism as though it's predatory or whatever. The way that if Robert Sarver was accused of sexual assault, we would be talking about his victims. But Earl Watson's a victim, professionally, emotionally, personally. Like, these people have too much power, and they use it in that way. And I really respect Earl not only for speaking up, but for his statement saying, this is not like a workplace dispute to me. This is a dude who had control over my livelihood treating me this way, and it's fucked up. And good for him for speaking up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going back to what you said, Mike, about how, we don't view racists as predators in a sense. It's because racism is so normalized in this country. Mm-hmm. It's because, if someone is reading that account of what Earl Watson went through, they're probably like, oh, come on, it wasn't that bad, motherfucker. You don't know what it's like being a black person, where you're constantly bracing yourself in the workplace. Like, is this white person racist? Do I know this? Okay, it's what they did just now. That was racist, wasn't it? Like, that's the shit that goes through your mind all the time. It wears on you. You know what I mean? It absolutely is mental terrorism if you are in a workplace with someone who is outwardly racist, like Sarver has been. No question.
Aaron Rodgers.
time to clown this motherfucker.
Let's keep playing the hits here. Did you see the meme? I don't remember if I texted it to the group chat of the Vince McMahon meme where he's getting like progressively like crazier and crazier.
Yeah.
Someone did that with the Aaron Rodgers comments that was like woke mob, and then like consulted with Joe Rogan and then MLK quote. He's like really freaking out. What was your reaction to watching this stuff spool out, John? What did you? Were you plugged in on this, or this was like 2 days after the baby was born, wasn't it?
I was plugged in. I mean, the baby sleep a lot. Roger was sleeping too. Right. I had to keep myself occupied. You know what I mean? I wish motherfuckers would stop using MLK, dog. Read a book. You know, what did Toni Morrison say? What did Malcolm X say? You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of other options.
Well, what did MLK really say also? Right, I mean, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? read an actual book about MLK, too.
He didn't say consult Joe Rogan. He didn't say that. We know that. You know what I mean? Like, and you have to pay attention to word usage. He didn't say talk to or spoke with. He consulted Joe Rogan about COVID.
When you consult with someone, that is showing that you value their professional opinion.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And even when he said, like, they asked him if he was vaccinated, he said, I'm immunized. That's some Joe Rogan usage. Listen, bro. White people, you know what I'm saying? Release yourselves of the shackles of Joe Rogan, please. He is at this point, when you're consulting Joe Rogan, classify this man as a cult leader, right, at this point, bro. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of wild.
It's a big cult. And I have a lot of black friends who are in that cult, too. He has got a reach because of that UFC shit. You know what I mean?
I saw the homegirl Shells on Twitter say something. Rogers, say we're talking about, like, Cap and Rogers, and they said Cap probably doesn't fall too far from, you know what I'm saying, from Rogers as far as, like, there's a lot of black people thinking in the same way that Rogers is thinking. So, you know what I mean? But, like, yeah, so, but you got to be crazy. Like, Joe Rogan's podcasts are fucking 3 hours. What on this planet are you doing for 3 hours that you're not getting paid for? Name one thing.
Absolutely not.
Willingly, bro, this shit is getting scary out here, dog. This man has got on. He knew he knew everybody's going to be watching this shit. And he comfortably, look how comfortable he was in his face. I consulted Joe Rogan. Like, bro, he would have put that in the bibliography section of a fucking paper.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm an essay, dog. Like he was like citing Joe Rogan.
Footnote 3A, Joe right. Rogan conversation on March 15th, 2021.
This, hey, bro, it's sick out here, dog.
So you know, we had the conversation and that kind of circled around Kyrie where we had a very nuanced conversation about, you know, the validity of Black people being hesitant of, you know, government mandated, you know, health procedures and such. We don't need to do that on this one. This motherfucker is just stupid. like, bro, well, I'm not going to paint with that broad of a brush. But this motherfucker, he might be a bright guy, but he's stupid as fuck in this situation here. Because
you could be smart and still be a dumb motherfucker.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the shit that kills me here is, bro, you are the one who jumped through all the extra fucking loops here. You know what I mean? You fucking tap dance around us with the wordplay gymnastics on the immunized mm-hmm. shit. You fooled mm-hmm. a lot of us on that one. But you can't fool yeah. COVID, motherfucker. Because COVID does not give a fuck. COVID just wants a nasal passage, dog. That's all COVID cares about. You feel me? So you fooled a lot.
Your ass. Yeah. You feel me?
But you fooled a lot of us with the motherfucking wordplay gymnastics. You got us on the immunized shit. Right? And then, you know, we find out all the shit that you went through. You know, and in regards to this, you fucking presented the NFL with a 500-page, you know, fucking dossier of why, you know, your homeopathic remedies are more valid than the vaccine. And you said they thought you were crazy because, yeah, motherfucker, you are. Like, they told you, we can get you the world's greatest epidemiologists, the world's greatest doctors to explain this to you. And you said, nah, I'm rolling with the dude who made his name in 2004 getting motherfuckers to eat boiled goat dicks. Like, that's whose opinion I'm valuing here. You know what I mean?
Scary.
You
know what I mean? Scary hours.
Right. And then you try to flip the shit on us like we're the fucking irrational ones. Motherfucker, you out here presenting 500-page documents for some bullshit. You out here goddamn drinking Ocarina of Time elixirs. You know what I'm saying?
Talk about the great MLK.
Right? You out here fucking, you know, using wordplay gymnastics. And now we are the irrational woke mob because your dumb ass got caught slipping and you got COVID and you're just mad because your fucking tactics to try to trick everybody didn't work. Fuck Aaron Rodgers for this one, bro. Like, I mean, I know he doesn't give a fuck about what I think about him, but I lost a lot of respect for the guy. I'm gonna be honest with you. and like I said, it's because you're trying to flip this shit on us like we're the irrational ones after all the bullshit you put us through. And that motherfucking MLK quote, bro, white people need to just stop fucking quoting.
Stop it. Okay? Stop it. Stop.
Especially.
And they always use it right before saying the dumbest shit. I'm like, motherfucker, MLK, bro, like, God damn, this is, right? I did all that work for you to use this shit so you didn't have to get a fucking vaccine.
Right,
nigga.
Right. And what kills me is Aaron Rodgers said in the same interview, I'm not into politics. I know the right's going to embrace me. The left's going to hate me. I don't give a shit about either one of them. And then you quote a quote from Martin Luther King, who was a fucking political prisoner when he gave you that quote. He was literally in jail for fighting for what he believed in.
What he believed in was not a rich athlete being able to do whatever he wants. What he was fighting for when he was in jail at that time was the ability for Black people to exist.
Right. On an equal plane with white people in this country. And you are throwing that out there because you fucking lied to us about being vaccinated. Fuck Aaron Rodgers, man.
The MLK, you posted the meme that was like, you know, MLK says stop being mean to me, right? Like some white dude who
white guys.
Did yeah. something who just fucked up, right? Like it's insane how cliched it is and how someone who thinks he's smarter than everyone else, like Aaron Rodgers clearly does, mm-hmm. does not understand what a fucking cliche that is. Right. You know, and I don't I mean, I guess I don't listen to Joe Rogan's podcast. Maybe that's the type of intelligence that's going on the Joe Rogan pod. Like, I'm smarter than everyone else, but I'm still the dumbest dude in the world. Like, it kind of does seem like that, actually. But I just don't know, man. It was absolutely the woke mob. As soon as he said woke mob,
I was like, oh, boy.
That's Joe Rogan speak. That's bro, like, Joe Rogan had white people out here, you know what I'm saying? Like, running to deer antler, like a powdered deer antler that solved everything. You know what I mean? Like, bro, this is like, this is what we on. You know what I mean? And when did they use MLK like he's a meme? You know what I mean? They act like they forget the experience he went through and what he really stood for. You know what I'm saying? Like, why MLK? I that's wild to me. He was so fucking hated prior to his death. You know what I mean?
And he doesn't exist as and not to make this comparison directly, but it's somewhat similar to Jesus, where like MLK does not exist as an actual person or a historical figure anymore, right? He exists as a concept that can be applied.
An idea,
And he's used by almost exclusively white people like Aaron Rodgers or the right, who's now going to embrace him, to suggest that what MLK stood for was reconciliation over everything. Right, that the most important thing is that everyone is kind and accepting and etc. And it actually is similar to the way that the historical words of Jesus have been twisted right down the generations, right? I mean, Jesus was a radical revolutionary figure as well, but like when MLK was killed, he was fighting capitalism. Yeah, right. It's the same thing, this idea that it's like, well, MLK said that, you know, if I, as a very powerful person in this country, don't like something, I have to lie to everyone about it. The fuck are you talking about?
The quotes are never used for what they were intended to be used for. Why MLK said it is never what it was actually used for. You know what I mean? That's what's wild to me, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you shouldn't be able to. I mean, that we should make a law where you'd have to say three other quotes, you know what I mean, from three other civil rights people, you know what I mean? Like, before you can say MLK, you know, because I just think, like, dog, it's just insane how, you know, misquoted he is. You know,
did you see the reactions of the people hosting the show when he got up off his couch? He took his shoulder blades off the couch cushions and said, you know, as the great MLK once said, and you see the host, who's his friend, who really needs him to keep coming on his podcast. He did that real subtle. We've all done it. He just slid the hand slightly over his mouth, like, oh my fucking god, this motherfucker just said, as the great MLK once said.
but bro, you gotta tell, like, that's a real friend would have called him a fuck nigga. You know what I mean?
But that's the same thing we were talking about with Sarver. This is his friend whose show has risen to national prominence because Aaron Rodgers comes on it every week.
But that friend is also very rich too. He got a big ass DraftKings deal, like millions and millions of dollars, bro. I can call my homie your fuck nigga money. You know what I'm saying? White men don't call their homies fuck niggas enough. You know what I mean?
And not on MLK.
You know what I'm saying? Like who am I to call my homie a fuck nigga when he's talking about MLK? You know what I mean? Who are you not to? Yeah. Shit, you motherfucker.
And you know the whole irony about white people not knowing shit about MLK. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers referenced that MLK quote that was from a letter from a Birmingham jail when MLK said that. And in that very same letter, you know, well, to go back to what Rodgers said about how he's not on either side. You know, I'm not with the left, I'm not with the right. In that very same letter, Martin Luther King told white people who are just in the middle on this racism shit, you know what I'm saying, who aren't picking a side, who are just like, you know, he said, who are devoted more to order than justice, you know, who he told white people who were fence straddling, y'all either got to fight these races with us or shut the fuck up and get out the way. Right? He told them that in that very same letter. And for Aaron Rodgers to just pride himself as being a centrist and then quote MLK's letter from a Birmingham jail shows he doesn't know shit about that man. So like I said, please just stop quoting Martin Luther King when you don't know shit about him and when you compare him to your little bullshit, trivial vaccination shit, you know, when he was going to bat for real shit, for equality for black people, you know?
It's funny that you brought that up because I was also going to quote from the letter. Because I actually think there is a quote in that letter that applies beautifully to talking about the pandemic. Moreover, I am cognizant of the interrelatedness of all communities and states. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Interesting.
Yeah. He's talking about the well-being of the large scale here, huh? Yeah.
Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow provincial outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider. It's true about racism, but it's also true about getting your fucking vaccine so that the dude who works at the stadium, who does not believe in science or maybe who is not that edgy, like whatever else, is not taking this shit home to his fucking wife or his kids or his grandma, bro. Like, that's why we're getting the vaccine, so that the people who know better can protect the people who don't know better or who can't get it, for which we have friends who have physiological issues, who have lupus and stuff, who have autoimmune problems that prevent them from being vaccinated. You know how much it kills those people sitting here going, this motherfucker could have got Anthony Fauci on the phone.
Yeah.
And called Joe Rogan instead.
Like, but instead. You know what I mean? Have you heard of Joe Rogan's podcast, bro? I consult the Joe Rogan.
And I just
fucking,
you know,
horse
the,
medicine, bro.
Bro, dear Hitler, bro, have you heard of it?
He said he didn't want to take, he did not want to take the vaccine because he's worried about it causing sterility. Which COVID actually does, by the way, which the vaccine does not.
We should have known that he wasn't truly vaccinated when he said immunized.
Yeah. Michael Smith, was it Michael A. Smith who picked that, Tyler?
Michael Smith nailed that shit back in August. He was like, nope, he is fucking tap dancing around his ear. So shouts to
him. If you look at his mannerisms.
Those eyes were darting everywhere when he
y'all
said
bro,
that.
Y'all, bro, I'm immunized, bro. That is a telltale sign of a liar, bro. You know what I mean? Come on, G.
He got us.
But hey, yeah, he got us, but, you know.
He got
but
us.
But COVID got him.
The COVID got your ass.
He got your ass, my boy. And Joe Rogan got your soul. Jesus Christ. I consulted Joe. Those words put together in a sentence is wild. When I heard consulted and Joe Rogan in the same sentence, it blew my fucking mind.
I would imagine having just had a kid and been through being happy that modern medicine exists and to have to do all this other stuff, right? To have people with expertise in a room with you in that moment, to see someone go, I consulted Joe Rogan.
I just saw a doctor. I just saw a baby blow a labia into the wind, bro. And the doctors then deliver the baby, then also sew the vagina back up, talking about aesthetically, this looks better. You know what I mean? Like, OBGYNs are be doctoring, you feel me? A lot of years went to that, you feel me? And this nigga talking about consulting Joe Rogan. My baby sleep, my other baby sleep, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking around like, I ain't got nobody to talk to. Like, this nigga said he consulted Joe Rogan. I wanted to scream. Anyway, man, let's move on.
The NBA is back. And one of the things I love about betting on basketball is that I'm always finding new player or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets to form a same game parlay and score an even bigger payout. I am very excited looking at that Bulls Nets game. I've mentioned many times I'm a big DeMar DeRozan fan, covered him in high school, and have been able to stay in touch with him as he's come home to Compton over the years. So I like the Bulls to beat the Nets, and I'm going to build a same game parlay with the Bulls money line, DeMar DeRozan over on the points, and the Bulls over on team total points. I think they're hot. I think they're for real. That's the team I'm rolling with this week. Note, look for the same game parlay icon to know what markets are eligible for SGPs. But that's not the only reason that I love betting on all the NBA action with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's also got fast payouts in as little as 2 hours. It's easy to use and place bets. They've got fun props markets that can be combined into same game parlays, and it's safe and secure. There's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay bet. All customers can check out FanDuel Sportsbook daily for exclusive NBA SGP-focused offers like TNT Tuesdays. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, they're also offering new users a risk-free $1,000 bet. Just sign up with promo code JNJ, that's J&J, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code JNJ. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's talk about Lucas Hare.
Luke became Luke. Luca became Luke real quick. Like I said, like I was talking to Tyler Ham, they got my baby boy looking like Luke Kennard out here, not Luke Kennard just no more. You know what I mean? What's wild to me though, you know when you get a haircut, when you leave the shop, how confident you feel. You know what I mean? That motherfucker got that, and then went out and hit a game winner. He put up like 33-8 around this thing. You feel me? Like with that haircut, imagine the confidence this dude just has to leave. I'd bald my shit out. You know what I mean? He out here in front of everybody dropping 33, getting hit in a game winner with that motherfucking haircut, bro. That look crazy level of confidence. I wouldn't have had it flat out.
I gotta Google this shit. I ain't even peeped the cut.
Oh, I thought I sent it to the group chat. My bad. Hold on.
You know how a bad cup will ruin your whole shit. You know what I mean? It'll snatch away my whole belief in me. You know what I mean? And this man, he out here looking like Roger Klotz from Doug. Roger, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, motherfuckers.
The side profile looks like a ninth grade geometry test. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like measure the area of this weird looking thing.
You could use a Pythagorean theorem on that motherfucking haircut for sure. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Okay, here it is. Hold on, I'm texting it to you right now, Tyler. Okay, and he was in. Was it
Tyler? You see it yet? This motherfucker.
Yeah, I just said it. I just said it.
Yeah, god damn, that shit weak as fuck. What the fuck? What the fuck, Luca got going on, man? That shit trash. Ain't no blend on that motherfucker. That shit just some bowl cut shit.
He got the haircut you give your kids when they bad, like when they trying to torture their kids. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like how you give Luca a receding hairline? A man like 23.
That's the goddamn the motherfucking Wayne Arnold from Wonder Years. What the fuck?
They did my boy bad, man.
Yeah, that shit trash. But Luca cold motherfucker.
Still Wayne put up Arnold 33-8 with that motherfucking haircut. Yo, you got all my respect, Bubba.
Okay, we talked with John before the baby came about how fatherhood changes your perspective on the world and opens you up to new horizons, and we know that this is true because John came back from the hospital and started texting the group chat about hockey.
Bro, y'all, but and when you saw it, yes, that reaction was holy fuck. Yeah. This motherfucker.
Tell people what you sent.
Connor McDavid. Who they call McJesus, which you know I tried to get a McJesus jersey, but the Navy one sold out. I'm going to get me one. You think I'm going to walk around without a McJesus jersey? You do not know me. I need a McJesus jersey. McJesus? That's beautiful. But this motherfucker is Kyrie on skates, bro. He shook four people and a goalie. I tweeted out like, dude, is this hockey? Isn't it? They're, and you know what I'm saying? He's the best player in the world. And I had never even heard of the dude before. But this dude is, I mean, I'd never seen some shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, I might check out the Edmonton Oilers if I scroll past him on TV. I mean, that shit, wow. I ain't never seen no shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah, this was my introduction to him, too. And I scrolled the replies on your tweet, and, like, there were a bunch of hockey fans in your mentions who were like, Wayne Gretzky's records are untouchable. No one's ever going to touch those. But this is probably the most talented hockey player ever. And I had never even heard of the dude. You know what I mean? I had never even heard of the guy.
He and Mike Trout could be sitting next to you at the fucking airport and you would just be right, scrolling through Twitter. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Bagging my groceries at motherfucking Trader Joe's and I'd be like, thank you, Bubba. You know what I mean? No, but what do you think that is, though? I know we talk about baseball, how the black players don't play anymore and it's not cool. That's why you know who Mike Trout is or what's going on in baseball. But we knew who Gretzky was.
We knew who Messi was. We knew who fucking Super Mario was.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I have a theory on this.
But it, I mean, and that's always been hella white, and we knew who they were, but we don't know who.
I feel like Crosby and Ovechkin were probably the last hockey players that even casual
that's a
fans
fact.
Knew.
That's a fact. That's a fact. It was weird. Hockey's a fun sport in live too. It's one of my favorite experiences live. That and soccer, oddly enough, live is a great experience.
Much better live than on TV. I think hockey got taken down just by the same way that we don't watch sitcoms anymore. I mean, it went from if you were a sports fan when we grew up. You had however many channels, and what those channels showed was football, baseball, basketball, and hockey, and that was it. You could not really find soccer anywhere, even though the EPL was still as big overseas as it is now, you know what I mean? And it just, that was it. And so as there's like more and more and more and more options, I know way more soccer fans than I know hockey fans.
By far.
You know? And so it's just, I just think it got taken down the same way that the late night talk show or whatever. There's just so many options that everyone doesn't just turn on Conan or Letterman or whatever the way they did in the 90s. It's like you can get demoed out to the smallest fucking slice at this point. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know. But hockey, and the thing that's wild about it is hockey would be so much better to follow now with the increase in television and camera quality.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was I remember being a kid, I was a Kings fan. The other thing about Gretzky was he was in L.A. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, this dude is on Mountain Time. That somebody mentioned that. I'm like, I don't know why he watched shit on Mountain Time. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Mountain Time Zone. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, he's not in a media capital or whatever. So I think that's a part of it, too, because Gretzky was definitely like, and that whole thing was strategic. Like, he's going to L.A. We're going to do video games. You know what I mean? Like, that was a marketing, like.
Crosby was in Pittsburgh, though. We knew who he was. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't Ovechkin. I think he was on Mountain Time. He played for the Avalanche, correct? Something like that. You know what I mean?
Ovechkin was with D.C. With the Capitals. You probably think about Patrick Waugh. Patrick Roy, the goalie.
Patrick Waugh.
Yeah. But, yeah, I also think, like, you know, remember how you used to wake up and just watch SportsCenter like 76 times in the morning? Yes. You know
that's
what I mean?
So I knew who Patrick Waugh was because I remember one of those anchors, maybe Dan Patrick, loved saying Patrick Waugh.
Patrick Waugh.
That's how I knew.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so like, yeah.
And sports coverage is the same way. Everyone used to watch SportsCenter. You'd watch that same hour three fucking times. And now people listen to us or they watch, right? I mean, it's like there's 9,000 fucking options out there for how you're going to get your sports stuff. And there isn't that everyone's watching this for 1 hour thing, which is like, it's been great. It's been democratizing in a lot of ways. It's not just white dudes on SportsCenter plus Stuart Scott, but it also means that there's less of that like cultural cohesion on everyone's going to be able to make the same inside joke or reference about a joke Stuart Scott made last night the way there used to be. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know this Pat McAfee dude had a show until Aaron Rodgers came on, but he does insane numbers. I had like two friends who were like, oh yeah, he goes on there every week. I'm a big Pat McAfee fan. I was like, I didn't fucking know that. Like,
that's who threw me to the Wolves in Indiana with the Pacers. You know what I'm saying? That's
McAfee?
Who tweeted me. Yeah. I'm not.
McAfee.
That's
how you know a nigga don't
guess
know.
Guess what?
Who it is. I didn't even know how to pronounce it either.
Yeah, like, I don't. Yeah. Guess what? I don't care. Pat guess McAfee what? Can't pronounce Garabasio either, so it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Fair's fair. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I don't. But anyway, that's just the way things are. But I'm with you. That clip was fucking crazy. Yeah,
and they say he does that consistently. Like it's. They said no, that's not normal for hockey, but it's normal for McDavid. You know what I mean? McJesus. I love that. But does Edmonton come? I don't know how hockey works. I don't know. I don't watch enough. I've only been to one St. Louis Blues game, and it was fucking. It was a blast, you know what I mean? But, like, does Edmonton come to L.A. and play the Kings? I would tap in for that. I would pull up for that.
I'm going to look this schedule up while I tell you that when I was growing up, Long Beach had a minor league hockey team called the Ice Dogs.
Oh, and everyone – D-A-W-G or what are we talking about?
D-O-G-S. But you would go to an Ice Dogs game, and it was, like, the most diverse hockey fan experience you could probably imagine. It looked like Long Beach in the arena because they would give the tickets out at the library. You know what I mean? Like, bring your kids, get it. Like, they had $1 beer nights. You know what I mean?
Like the Warriors tickets prior to Steph. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Everybody just went out there and had a picnic in the stands. You know what I'm saying?
Right. 100%. December 22nd, I beat him December 22nd.
Mike, hella competitive. Yeah. But yeah. I'd be down for that. I'd be down to tap in. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I think I want to see McDavid live. You know what I mean? I mean, dude. Like I said, hockey and soccer are the two best experiences. And seeing McDavid live, it seemed like something needs to happen. So, yes, it's ridiculous that I came to y'all with hockey shit, but also it was worthy of the group chat.
I agree.
The nickname alone is worthy enough.
You
that's got to be up there on the power rankings of sports nickname. McJesus is fucking smooth.
Bro, he already top three. McJesus, top three. I mean, what names would we say are better than McJesus nicknames?
We might have a lot of great nicknames right now, I feel like the 80s and the 90s had a ton. I don't know if we have a lot right now.
No, I mean like all time. That's what I'm saying. That's already an all-timer.
All time, I'd say. I mean, I give all time top five? McJesus?
Nigerian Nightmare might be my favorite sports nickname ever.
I hear you. McJesus is just fun.
Yeah, it is.
You know, there's a certain level of fun that comes with McJesus.
I do love the Davion Mitchell on the Kings, the nickname Off Night.
Off Night, yeah.
That's a fun. No, that's another like instant classic nickname, bro.
There we go.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that actually a couple of weeks ago. We'll wait till he goes viral again for locking up a fucking superstar. We'll talk about Off Night then. Okay.
That dude like a virus defensively.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much fun. I love good defense. I know it's the dorkiest basketball I love watching a dude who wants
He's
to
also
lock
a bucket
up.
Though. Like, he's yes. also a bucket. He's also a bucket too. So that
we have a
it.
Lot of dudes who are buckets.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's just it feels special when there's a dude who's like, I love playing defense.
Old boy in the with the Raptors too from Florida State. That you know what I'm saying? He'll lock you up and then put some numbers up to you too. We got some young bucks, bro. Let's can move on to.
All right, we had other shit Canelo. To talk about, but I think we'll talk about Canelo real quick. We're already like an hour or whatever. So go ahead, talk about you watched the Canelo fight last night.
Did y'all watch it at all? I'm wondering.
I just saw the clips when he dusted homie off in the 11th.
Yeah, I just saw that.
And he ran up on him like on the don't run away from this ass whooping shuffle when he dusted him off. Yeah, I love that part.
I'm gonna tell you, bro. I don't know if in my lifetime, I mean, Mayweather obviously wasn't getting touched. If you the last three fighters Canelo has beat together, they're 78-0.
Goddamn.
78-0. You know what I mean? This dude is 5'7.5", just whooped a nigga that was 6 foot. With great foot. I mean, dude, Plant is a hell of a fighter. He made him look regular. If you see Plant, what he does with his lead left, with that jab is pure. He throws great combinations with that lead left, has great footwork, great head movement. He made that man look regular. He's stalking a man that's, I know Canelo came in weighing a little heavier than him, but Plant is a much bigger man. And he's a Terminator. It's wild to watch how he broke him down. He's kind of like Alabama. You know how Alabama, you see him like, kind of like, you know, they wear you down with the run and then they just eventually just obliterate you in the second half. He's just like that, bro. The dude he just wore him down. And he was, if you were looking at like Plant's body during the fight, his body was red. And as Plant's hands start to fall, then that's when Canelo start going up top. Yeah. And he just a bully. He just put pressure and pressure and pressure. And I don't care how good you are. Taking that pressure 12 rounds is just hard. But it's just wild to see him bully these guys, man. Like big, big men. You know, like, and they're saying he's, you know, the black people are saying he's the greatest Mexican of all time. And that is a crazy, crazy statement. But Canelo, man, like he's my favorite fighter I've ever seen fight. You know what I mean? During my time watching boxing, but just special seeing that last night. He made a really good fighter look regular. And Caleb gained a fan in me. I really like Caleb. I think he's gonna be a great fighter. And Canelo even said he said, you know, you're next. But he just ran into a dude that's at his peak. That's a god right now. He's a boogeyman. Mm-hmm. And he just can't be beat. He's smarter than everybody. He boxes better than everybody. He's strong. His chin is crazy. You see, Canelo don't got no neck. It's just his head from the top of his head to his shoulders is the same width. he built like a dumpster. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? And a lot of those knockouts are hurting people. You know, it's that whip. He don't get no whip. His neck too thick. His head and his neck and his shoulders are all one. But yeah, Canelo's a special fighter. And to see him break him down, I was just in amazement all night. I don't know what's next for him. I think they said better BF. They're talking about GGG3. You know what I mean? I don't know. But yeah, the Charlos aren't big enough for Canelo. I don't know what he does next. What did he do? I mean, he has to go up and take the, you know, but he's the first, you know, I think super middleweight to unify all the belts. You know, we talking all time.
They should have him fight a robot. Time.
At this point,
fight
this
a kangaroo, point. Man.
No, we saw a kangaroo get slept. Nah, he fight a tiger. Nah, hell. But,
maybe he could fight like a small bear.
we saw what's your boy name from MMA. He was wrestling bears as a kid, which is He was, and he never lost a fight in MMA. But yeah, it's I don't know what Canelo does next, but it's to see what he's done. Like I said, 78-0, all big men, and he's the bully. It's crazy to watch.
All right, I think that's all the time we've got for Jenkins and Jones. We've got diapers to change, that took John a second. Did we record a whole podcast while she was napping? Is she still asleep?
I put her to sleep right before. We put her to sleep right before she was feeding. Once, I mean, she been drinking a lot of milk, bro. I mean,
what women literally have the baby, then have the sustenance in them to I don't even know why did they. Why do we
only exist to start the process? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, you got to swaddle. You got to make sure that you got to make sure that Rather is sleeping. You got to get food when she went. Like, there's like you take the baby takes care of the mom. Take care of the baby. You take care of the mom, right? You know what I mean.
I take care of my baby. She take care of my other baby. You know what I mean? But yeah. I'm picking up the water bottle and you're feeding her out of the water. I'm like, yo, you need you some rest. Get you some rest. You know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, that's what we on right now. But it's crazy.
It's the circle.
See nature.
King when y'all a buyer.
I think that's it, y'all.
All right, we'll be back on Thursday. Bye.
Bye. Bye.